Let's stand for prayer. Our Father, our living God, we bow our heads to you this morning. Thank you for being Almighty God. Lord, thank you that you are truly alive, that you are so much greater than any other power in the universe. And Father, thank you for all that greatness that you care about us here on this earth. But specks in the grand scheme of things. Father, we marvel at that. How you can hold the nations in your hand, and yet you still have that hand outstretched to us individually and hold our hands. Father, how you can ponder and behold everything that is going on in this universe all at once. And yet you still watch over the minute details of our own personal lives. Father, we worship you. Thank you for being Almighty God, and thank you for being our Father. Lord, we look to you this morning and needing us, ask that you would come and bless us with your presence, Father. I pray for anointing on your word this morning and for your presence in each of our hearts. Father, as your word is shared, we pray that you would break the bread of life to us, that you would fortify and strengthen us, that you would safeguard us this morning, Father. Lord, we pray that you would watch over each one of us, that none of us would fall by the wayside and fall prey to the devil's tactics. Lord, we long to, on that day when you return, as that prisoner was so eagerly looking forward to, Father, we long to all be there and dwell together with you in eternity. And so, Father, we pray that you would use this morning to that end in each of our lives. Be present with us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Welcome to each one. Special welcome to our visitors. Blessing to have you all here. Some of you were not here Wednesday night, but Wednesday night, Brother Ben brought us a presentation about common scams that are abound out and around and about us. And I was moderating that service that evening, and as I sat down just for a while to pray and ponder for a few minutes there Wednesday afternoon to think of how to open that service, and we like to try when we have a more earthly topic like that to have a few thoughts of a more spiritual nature in the beginning. And I thought about scams and the reality of scams of much greater significance than the one that Ben talked about. And Ben's intent there was to educate us to the intent that none of us would fall for some of those scams that are out there. And so anyway, as I pondered that a little bit on Wednesday night, I realized that there's inspiration there for much more than just an introduction Wednesday night. So here we are this morning, bringing to you a word of warning that in many ways runs parallel to Wednesday night, for those of you who are here, but it has far more significance and far more consequence than the one we discussed Wednesday night, significant as that was. I bring you this morning a word of warning. Scripture says to warn every man and teach every man. I don't so often preach messages of warning. I tend to warn one-on-one if I feel there's warning to do, but this morning I bring you a word of warning. You know, when there's stormy weather, you have the storm watch, the tornado watch, and we go to bed with that one. When it moves to a tornado warning, something rotation has been spotted close to our house, we may just be up and paying some attention. And I would like to bring you this morning a scammer warning, and I titled the message that this morning. Sometimes these scams of the devil are closer to home than we would like to think. Scammer warning. Now, many of you have seen at the bank a little brochure there that says scammer alert. Or some of you have seen postings by the sheriff's office that says scammer alert. And the bank and the sheriff's office and various other places, I've gotten emails from places like my credit card company. I have gotten emails from PayPal. I've gotten emails from various legitimate companies that are warning about imposters, scammers. They do that when there's been activity, when they've become alerted to things that are going on. The bank will let you know that there's been a flurry of activity of texts being sent out saying that your account's been compromised, this or that. It will warn you not to respond to those texts. The sheriff's department may put out a notice that there's been a scam saying that you missed jury duty and you owe a fine. You need to go buy these bitcoins, whatever it is, and they'll put out those alerts when there's scammer activity going on. And that is the warning this morning, there's scammer activity going on. But before we go into the spiritual scams, I'm going to finish telling you the story that I started Wednesday night. So a few months ago, I sat across the table, as I told you, from a friend of the family that's been a friend for years and years, an older single Mennonite lady, 60s or 70s probably, I don't know for sure. But she opened up for the first time about how a year earlier she had gotten scammed out of $21,000. It's $21,000 even. And it began with an automated phone call from Amazon. Seeming legitimate enough, it said there was this $1,000 purchase made by someone in New York on her account, on her Amazon account. Press 1 if, I can't remember, was it 1 or 2? Press 1 if it was legitimate, and press 2 if she does not recognize those charges. Sounds legitimate enough. And so she pressed 2 or whatever it was that she did not recognize the charges. And she got eventually got transferred to speak with a live person, a lady on the phone, who transferred her in turn to a person from some kind of federal agency. And this man wanted to help her out, felt for her deeply. This is not good. Someone got into your Amazon account. And as he looked into the situation some more for her, he discovered that someone had also opened up at least 3 bank accounts using her information. And there was fraudulent activity going on. And if it's so good they caught it, because this looks like her. If someone else has done it, and her identity has been compromised, and he's going to help her get it straightened out. And so the way to do this was for her to take cash out of the 2 bank accounts that she really did have. There's 2 things were going to be accomplished. She was going to protect that money from being taken by the one who is doing this in her name. Secondly, it was going to verify her identity, and based on that, then they were going to issue her a new Social Security number. So she went to 2 different banks and withdrew $100 bills 2 different times while she was on the phone with this man, this agent. As she withdrew that cash, she says she did have a couple questions along the way, but the agent had warned her that due to the investigation going on, it's very important that she maintain secrecy, or it would hinder the investigation. And so she had promised not to tell anyone. Now, $21,000 in Franklin's is a good wad of cash. It's a pretty good little pack. But she needed to get this to their office there, wherever it was. I think it was also in New York somewhere. And, of course, she couldn't use a check because her name and her bank accounts were compromised. She needed to send it in cash. And so this guy, who she felt was actually genuinely helping her out, having compassion on her, he gave her directions on how to safely prepare that cash for mailing. And she took a bunch of mail order catalogs and magazines and put one $100 bill between every page and stacked those in a box and wrapped the box with gift wrapping. This needs to be secret in case these guys that have her identity try to intercept the mail and discover that something's going on. This needs to be very covert. And then wrap it with gift wrap, take pictures and videos all along, and then send it to this address. It's pretty textbook so far, right? It's fairly textbook. But then there was a unique twist to it. She got a little something wrong in the address by accident. And a week later, the package came back to her. That's what makes it hurt worse today. But this agent who was helping her out got very concerned for her safety. This is time sensitive. They needed this over there. They needed to get this put in a safe place, get her identity verified, and get her this new number and all that. So he wasn't sure, maybe have her mail. The other thing he was very concerned about is maybe these imposters, maybe these folks who are scamming her, who've got into her account, may have got into that package and took the cash. So he had her open it and count every one of those hundreds again, make sure they were all there. Put it back in the package, and then he offered, instead of mailing it again, since this is time sensitive, he would actually send someone to go pick it up. And so she gratefully accepted that offer. It was getting pretty serious. She really wanted this taken care of before more things happen in her name, and she gets in trouble for it. And so she took those pictures and videos, make sure all was there. And so on the appointed day and time, she pulled into the Walmart parking lot, took a video, walked around her car, showing that she was alone, showed her license plate, showed the package. And she was not allowed to talk to the one who was picking it up, top secrecy. So after she had verified she was alone, here comes a guy with a backpack. She was instructed to take the package, put it in his backpack, and he left. Scammed. Never to see that $21,000 again. I'm going to tell you a few other instances. In through the years 2015 to 2017, maybe Brother Eldon knows this situation. There was a Mennonite, conservative Mennonite man in Kaufman, Texas, Kaufman County, Texas. He was a cabinet maker, obviously a fairly wealthy man. And he was taken by an elaborate scam by two who claimed to be real estate investors with ties to the world's elite, high up connections. They used the combination of financial enticements and threats to get him to cooperate. Notice, enticements followed by threats. They successfully swindled him not only of what he had, but he also took out some loans for them. I think it was $1.3 million. It was very elaborate in that they showed up at his place of business with high-dollar vehicles, an entourage of security, hired off-duty police officers in uniform who didn't know what was going on or did. I don't know. These are from the federal documents, including a helicopter overhead in one instance, private helicopter they hired. And so it began to feel very intimidating. By the time he was finally convinced it was a scam and had the courage to notify the right people, because at this point he was being threatened, the money was gone. He got about $6,000 back of that $1.3 million. In this case, the scammers were caught, but he was still scammed. Around the same time period, a trusted investment company, a trusted accountant in Pennsylvania, whom the Plain People used, Amish and Mennonites used for years, offered an investment opportunity to his clients with high returns. Safe. It was basically being invested in business startups that he, being an accountant, knew about. A Ponzi scheme. And it was a risk-free opportunity for them with guaranteed returns. And since he had been doing their taxes for years and they trusted him, it was immensely successful. Over $59 million was scammed and lost. He did end up with a 10-year sentence, a scam. Again, in the same time period, from 2010 to 2019, a man named Jason Schenck, and Linwood would know about this, purported to be actively involved in providing Bibles to China. He was a man with a conservative Mennonite background, and from 2010 to 2019, received about $33 million from conservative Anabaptist charities. And instead of spending it on Bibles, he is alleged to have spent it on gambling, gold, diamonds, stocks, and real estate. He's never been tried because they can't find him. Fled the country. A scam. You know, that's especially infuriating. It's upsetting and unsettling when someone takes money that's not theirs by fraud, by scam. But you know, in many ways, sometimes it's greed. Jesus already told us that we're going to lose what we have on earth. Jesus already told us that our earthly wealth is going to get lost. Moth and rust is going to corrupt it. Earthly wealth is at risk. It's not only at risk, it's destined for loss. Okay, Jesus already told us that. And so it's a little easier to live with there. But when somebody is giving, and instead of buying Bibles, you buy lottery tickets, that hurts. Now, I'm sure that God rewards that heart who gave. God sees that heart, but the money is lost. It's a scam. Another one that is perhaps the most heart-wrenching of all are online relationship scams that turn dangerous very quickly. And I'll not go into detail with those. We are rather sheltered and insulated from those, but just a warning to you young people, stay out of any online relationships. Some of the most heart-wrenching stories you ever read are those scams, and they often end with no less than death. But those are the bigger ones. We could tell many more. And then you have the smaller ones, scams You have the married sister here in a neighboring congregation. You've got the brother who used to be in this congregation who actually went to Dollar General to buy the gift cards, but they were closed, bless God. And he called Brother Mark and, of course, stopped cold in his tracks. You got the couple hundred our congregation sent to a domain listings company that is lost. You've got the health scams out there, the noni juice, the goni juice, the yin and the yang and the magnets and all this stuff. And just read the Plain Community's business exchange. Scam, little stuff. Very irritating, very deceptive. And we could list the scams. There's all kinds of, they have names for them. Intimidation scams, imposter scams, someone pretending to call to help when they're an imposter, pretending to be someone that wants to help you like they did with our friend there. Emergency scams, grandparent scams, romantic scams, and phishing and charity scams and health scams. And all of us have our stories. We've either been called and we identified it. Some of us could tell a story when we were almost took. And some of us could tell a story when we were took over the barrel. We all have those stories. And it's infuriating. Some of it can also be a little intriguing and fascinating. I tell you these stories because I'm going somewhere. There are common threads in any of these stories. You could build here on this wall, instead of these arrows, we could put a title here, say, Anatomy of a Scam. And then we could build a chart with the typical ingredients that are necessary for a successful scam. And we could build that, and then we could fit almost any scam into that chart by some means or another. And you know, one of it would be the motivation. Scammers need to have something to motivate their target. Sometimes that's greed, sometimes that's desire for wealth, sometimes it's fear, sometimes it's lust. There's a 75-year-old Amishman who was seeking to gratify his lusts and did. And later was told by the prostitute that someone had smuggled a camera into the bedroom and these pictures were now in someone's possession who was going to post them online. And he wanted his sin to be secret. He got scammed more ways than one. The bigger scam was the sexual sin, and we'll look at that. But he also got scammed out of $67,000 in payments to keep them from posting this thing. And in the end, it still got blasted all over the internet because he finally had to get law enforcement involved. Sometimes a motivation, greed, lust, they play on what's there, fear. Sometimes sympathy. Something has to motivate. Scammers also need to establish trust or confidence that their story is real. This would be on that chart. You would see this in almost every scan. Then they need to maintain that confidence. Or if they lose it, they need to make sure they've drawn the person in far enough that intimidation now works. You would see that on this chart. And they can do that very easily. They'll either dupe you into doing something that actually was illegal and make you realize that if you come out with this, you'll be in trouble. Or they'll make you think you've done something like that and you dare not come out. In the case of our single friend there, she was too embarrassed. It was gone anyway. It was a year later before she told anyone about it. She still wants it to be anonymous. Another ingredient of the most successful scams is they depend on others who have already fallen for it, who believe it's right. Scams work out for a while oftentimes, especially investment scams. A few do it, they put their money in, they get their return, and it's exciting. So not only are they looped in now, they're convinced, they convince all their friends. Scammers rely on that. The devil does too. Getting ahead of myself. But a few things that stood out to me as our Mennonite friend was telling us her story. One is she needed that money. She needed that money, single, in her 70s, needs to figure out where she's going to live. She's still dry. But anyway, she needs that money. She could not afford to lose it. Another thing that stood out to me is how obvious it looks to her today. Looking back, I mean from day one, it looks so obvious. She should have caught it. And that is the nature of scams. On the other side, now some stay hidden. Some people never know. There's a day when all will find out, but some never know. But that is the interesting nature of scams. It's not a scam if you know you're being scammed. When you're being scammed, you don't know it. But afterward, it looks so obvious. The third thing I noticed with her is that she's still vulnerable. She's still vulnerable. In the same conversation, she asked me about a certain investment she was considering that was supposed to yield a phenomenal return that next year. Same conversation. Glad she asked. You know, she'd been scammed. We need to recover something, and recover it rather quickly would be helpful. This was supposedly endorsed by Dave Ramsey himself. I didn't know about it, but it had all the telltale signs of another scam, a hoax, a video that of Dave Ramsey endorsing it looked fake to me. It looked like an AI video. By the way, if you ever see me endorsing something online, don't believe it. AI can have any of us do that online now. But I recommended her not to, and I don't believe she did. But the thing is, we often talk about once bit, twice shy. I think even Ben mentioned that if you've been took, you're not apt to be took again. Statistics actually show that it's the opposite. If you've been scammed once, you're more apt to get scammed again. It's counterintuitive. It might be because it says a little of your tendencies to go for that kind of a thing. It might be a bit because it tells you of your place in life. Maybe you aren't surrounded by wise counselors or whatever it is. And I'm sure it doesn't always work that way, but once bitten, twice shy does not seem to work with scams. But now we get to where I was going. The scams that really matter. The spiritual scams. And turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 3. We're not done looking at scam stories. The spiritual scams, and that I'm not going to talk about Waco, Texas, or Jim Jones, or some of those. I hope and pray that we are fortified against those kind of things, cultish, cult leaders, false prophets. I hope and pray we are. Those also can start ever so subtly. But I would like to talk about scams that we still face today. Maybe every day, some of us, and we either fall for them or we recognize them and don't. The father of lies is the master of all scammers. And if you stop and think about it, every one of these scammers that we looked at in the stories leading up to this was also being scammed by the devil himself, thinking that they could do wrong and get by. They were being scammed. But the devil's been at it for a long time. For over 6,000 years he's been at it. And he's quite good at it. From that first scam that we're going to look at there in the Garden of Eden up until today, he's been scamming people, even Christians, out of things that are theirs, out of things they need, out of things they can't afford to lose. And the devil's quite good at that. He'll scam people out of their faith, out of their time, out of their resources, out of their purity, out of their marriages, out of their families, ultimately out of their souls. That's the scammer we're talking about. And these scams, slick and covered as they seem, will one day look so obvious too. There's a group of people who got caught in this scam who waited too long to see it. But it looks so obvious. You'll find them in Matthew 7. They believed the scam that doing all these things for the Lord meant that their souls were saved. And Judgment Day blew that right out of the water. And they were horrified. They had the same feeling our Mennonite friend did, only in a much worse way, when she handed over that box and went home. It's amazing how it hits you. After it's over, it hits you. You realize you've been scammed. After it's over, this group in Matthew 7, it hit them. But it was too late. And just like other scams, spiritual scams will look obvious to us either in this life or when it's too late. Now, we are told the best way to avoid the counterfeit is to become very familiar with the real. I agree with that. Be grounded in the truth and you'll not fall for falsehood. But we're going to look at some verses that also say that it's important for us not to be ignorant about falsehoods, about scams. We're going to look at some of those. But Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" Before we go farther, I want to mention something about this devil, this master scammer, this father of lies, this serpent that was so subtle. Peter talks about him going about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. A powerful foe. And that is true when you're in his territory. That's a very real picture. It's in the Word of God. It's a very real picture of the devil. But the Word of God also says, "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." For the child of God who is not in the devil's territory, he's just a little old shriveled up, defeated, scheming scammer that doesn't have any other way to get what he wants. That's what he is. Subtle, more subtle, a schemer. And you see that description of the devil, of Satan, in the Bible a lot more than you do the roaring lion description. That is largely because the Bible is, for the most part, speaking to those, warning them not to get into his territory. Until we are in his territory, he is just a shriveled, defeated, scheming swindler, scammer. No power. Unless we fall for it, then he has it. The serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. And the woman said unto the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat it. Eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." And the serpent said unto the woman, "Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. They handed over the box with the cash. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. See any familiarities here? Any consistencies with the other stories? It's all a big scam. And they fell for it. And after they fell for it, they realized it. I want to turn to 2 Corinthians. We're coming back to this account. I want to notice a few more things here, but turn to 2 Corinthians with me. Do we need to worry about this back in the garden? Is it significant to us other than theology to understand where we're coming from? Second Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. This is in the context of false teachers. Paul says to the Corinthians, "But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled or scammed," scammed is a rather new word, 1963 I think it entered our dictionaries, and it fits well. I doubt that the King James translators would have used it in 1963 had that been the year they were translated, because it was still considered slang then. Today it's not considered slang anymore, and it's a word we know better than beguiled. "But I fear lest by any means as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." And again, the context here is false teachers and a simple true faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, as we trust that miner had there in Chris's story. But now drop down here to verse 13. Paul can't get off this theme. There he says to believers, "I fear lest the devil do the same thing to you he did to Eve, lest he scam you out of what is yours, out of where you should be." He says in verse 13, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." So we have the roaring lion on one side, But here we have one who looks like an angel of light. The devil himself, the great scammer. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. And then earlier on in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11, when Paul is telling them to begin to receive the one whom they had excommunicated, whom they had separated from, in that context, Paul says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. So the same Bible that says to be simple concerning that which is evil says that we are not ignorant, though, of Satan's devices. And so there is an unhealthy fascination with evil, with the devil, with the works of darkness, and I trust that a child of God will not experience that. That people do experience that, but there is also a right, being alert, being aware, knowing what tactics he uses. We are not ignorant of his devices, lest Satan should get an advantage, lest Satan should defraud, or lest Satan should scam any of you, this great scammer. So I'd like to notice a few more things there in Genesis. In Corinthians there, we see that we're still vulnerable. Again, once bit, twice shy doesn't seem to work here. In fact, that story there, we're all represented there in Adam when Adam and Eve fell for that first scam. And I would like to suggest that we are all in that category of people who, because of that first, being took over that first time in Adam, we now have a propensity in us to be scammed again. Just like it seems to work out with financial scams and such like. Just a few things to notice in Genesis here before we go on to some scams that we face today by the devil. But one thing I would like to notice is it says that he was very subtle. That's how scammers are. They're very subtle. You don't get what you see. You don't see what you get. The serpent was the perfect critter for the devil to use there. And it's interesting to note the timing he chose. He approached Eve when she was alone. Common tactic for scammers. I know the devil didn't learn it from the scammers of today, so they must have learned it from the devil. But it works well. She was alone. I would assume that perhaps if Adam and Eve had been together, they would have done some talking. Not saying that Adam was better than Eve, but the two of them together would have done some talking and possibly not fell. But he knew when to approach. In fact, his strategy depended on that. So there we could see that perhaps if we wanted to avoid some of Satan's scams, one of the things would be to refuse to walk alone. One of the things would be to surround ourselves with brothers and sisters. I'm not saying not walking alone as in physically going being by ourselves, but I'm talking about walking through life alone. Scammers love to approach those who are alone. The devil does too. Surround ourselves as God asks us to with faithful brothers and sisters. Another interesting timing there is it seems like she was right there where she could see the fruit. He didn't come to her when she was across the garden from this tree. No, he came right at a time when it was right there in front of her and she could look up and see how appealing it looked. Subtle. The devil knows in what situations he's most likely to be successful to scam people, and that's when he'll come. He's no fool. The way in which he approached her seems to have been a surprise. I suspect it was a surprise. She didn't expect the serpent to talk to her. Doesn't seem like the other animals talked in the garden. His temptation came through a means which Eve was not expecting. The scam came through a means that was not easily identifiable as a scammer. This serpent. Even so, Satan still does. Surprises us through whom the scam is presented, in which way. And then a few things about how the devil approached her in this scam. One is that first little step was just a very innocent question. Yay, hath God said? Pretty innocent. Did you spend $1,000? If you did, fine. But if not, let us know. Innocent question, and he ups it by degrees. He creates doubt. And then he switches to a very, very useful tactic, a very, very common tactic. He begins to awaken doubts of both God's intentions, of his fairness, of his goodness, and of his motives. All of it. The devil still loves that one. Whenever he can get a wedge, the door wedged open to where he can come in there with those questions. What is God's motive here? Why is God doing this? Does God really have your good in mind? He'll do it. And he'll sell the scam. So Eve turned from walking with God to being separated. Her attention is drawn away from God to the serpent and to the fruit. And then Satan, of course, has her at a very great advantage. And he says, "Ye shall not surely die. Ye shall not surely die." Complete outright lying. Emboldened by the success. That's out of the playbook. That's what would be on this graph. They move from subtle to obvious. Someone has said that Satan presents his temptations and his scam by claiming no joy, no haste, no danger, and then finally no hope. So first, he convinces someone to believe that to serve the Lord is a joyless life of bondage. And that there is no haste to do anything about our sinful life. There's no danger. And then when he has someone in his clutches so far, he convinces them that there's no hope anymore. Just like a scammer, moves them from the simple to the deep. And someone is scared and unable to get out of those clutches. The devil's strategy is to observe the natural tendencies of a man and fit his temptations to those. He's no fool. He's been an observer of humankind for thousands of years. And he knows how to bring temptations that are suited for the man or the woman or the child. Devil knows very well that just as plants don't thrive in every kind of soil, certain plants need certain kinds of soil, certain temptations are almost useless to even assail certain men and women with. But he'll bring what fits their natural tendencies. Another thing the devil never shares is the extent of the power that he has to hold one where one thought they voluntarily went and take them beyond. The devil never shares that. Scammers never do. Some scams seem to be working well for a while. We talked about investment scams where the first few get their money back. It's working well. It's looking legitimate. It's looking like they're getting away with it. It disarms them even further. For a time, fame is satisfying. We'll look at that later. For a time, sin is pleasurable. For a time, we can do wrong and get by. That's a scam. That's a scam. Bible says, because judgment, sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the hearts of men is fully set in them to do evil. You know, others who are getting away with it, others who are convinced, others who seem to be getting by, others for whom it seems to be working, are the scammer's greatest ally. Greatest ally for the scammer is a family member who is convinced, a church member who is convinced, a friend who is convinced, who's won over, and for whom things are going well. Is his greatest ally. But that scripture goes on to say, but it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before God. So there'd be a lot more we could see there in Genesis chapter 3. There'd be a lot more we could mine out of that about the devil's strategy, what happened there. And we were scammed that day. We were represented in Adam. We are vulnerable, Scripture says today, to some of those same scams, to the same scammer. But I would like to move to just a few thoughts and ways in which we face the devil's scams today. And I said earlier that many of us would have our stories, right? Scams that didn't work, scams we caught on to, and scams we fell for. If we took this whole room, I'd say we'd have some of all of those stories. But on this thing of spiritual scams, we would have the same variation of stories. But I don't know that there's one of us in this room who's never been took. In fact, I know there isn't. The problem is, for us, it seems like once bitten, twice shy does not always work. Some of us are falling for the same scam over and over again. We are. And we look over that there at our Mennonite friend and think that if she does that again, how preposterous. How could someone? I saw some incredulous expressions when I said that statistics show people get scammed the second time. We can hardly see that. But how is it, brothers and sisters, that spiritually, in the scams that really matter, we allow ourselves to get scammed over and over again? God help us. We're not ignorant of his devices. And I bring you nothing new today. My goal is simply to highlight it again, to highlight the strategy again, to expose what's happening again. And thus, hopefully, some of us will be fortified. The devil would like to scam us out of our faith using intellect, using doubt, using questioning. The nature of this scam is of such that we begin to trust our own intellect and reasoning, and if it doesn't fit there, it cannot be right. And in this scam, we begin to trust the justice of God. We begin to distrust. We begin to question the justice of God, the goodness of God. We begin to question God's existence because there are so many things about God that the finite mind cannot comprehend, that our intellect cannot wrap around. And if the devil is able to get us to where we believe that our intellect is trustworthy, he'll be able to scam us out of our faith. He's done it to many. I've watched it. You've watched it. Intellect and reason ended up being here on the throne, on the great white throne, and God was here being judged. I have friends who did that and who are still away from God because of that. Satan would love to scam us out of our faith using the scam of a trustworthy intellect. Along with that, Satan would love to scam us out of our confidence in God, scam us out of our prayer life, out of our ability to come to God with everything that's on our heart. Same as he did in the garden, yea, hath God said, whatsoever you ask in my name, I'll give it. All these promises, and you prayed this prayer, and God didn't answer. A scam of the devil. God's ways are higher than ours. Even Jesus prayed, not my will, but thine be done. Or because of experiences in our past, the devil would like to scam us into thinking that it's not safe to pray, not my will, but thine be done, because of where God might take us. When Jesus prayed that prayer, it took him to the cross. And brothers and sisters, it often does us too when we pray that prayer. But the devil would like to make that look like something that's not safe. And Jesus said, when a corn of wheat falls into the ground and dies, there's life that comes out of that. He demonstrated that too. Scam of the devil would not let us see that. The devil would love to scam us out of our fulfillment. Or rather, if we're needing fulfillment, the devil would like to offer fulfillment and scam us in doing it. Satan will gladly offer to help you find it. He'll help you find it in business, in work, in sports, in popularity, in relationships, instead of in Christ. And it's a scam. It'll feel fulfilling for a while, but it will not truly fulfill. See, scammers need a motive. Maybe you want fulfillment. He'll offer it. And he'll also gladly scam you out of true fulfillment that you are experiencing or should be experiencing. Maybe you have fulfillment. The devil would love to take that $21,000 from you. And he has his ways. Maybe you're a teacher. Maybe you're doing maid work. Maybe you're a mother. Maybe you're a father. Work that should be so fulfilling. Work that is eternal work. And the devil would love to come and whisper and say, this is rather useless. This is rather humdrum. What about the mission field? What about this? Ever so legitimate, but he just scammed you out of the fulfillment that you should have had in serving the Lord Jesus where you're at. He's a master scammer. He'll make you feel like true fulfillment could only be found if you're married. If you're single, he'll make you think that. All kinds of scams to get you out of the fulfillment that is rightly yours where you're at. That $21,000 is yours, not the devil's. Don't let him take it. But he will, if you let him. And he'll scam you out of something worth, by the way, far more than $21,000. Peace. If you're looking for peace, this master scammer is sure to offer you some. Maybe your conscience is troubled. He's going to offer you peace through a partial confession. It's a scam. You'll find some peace, but it won't be true peace. Maybe not for any of us here, but he may offer you peace through some marijuana. Peace. A scam. He'll offer it, but it's counterfeit. It's fake. Master scammer. It's a sham. Or maybe you have peace, brother or sister. He'll try to scam you out of that peace. He doesn't care. If you're looking for it, he'll offer it. If you've got it, he'll try to take it. That's how scammers are. He'll gladly scam you out of your peace, God's peace in your heart. He'll entice you to sin. And then he'll scare you and shame you to where you don't bring it to the light. Don't confess it. And guess what? Your peace is gone. Just scammed you out of something worth far more than $3.3 million or $33 million, whatever it was. Or he'll choose a dreary day in late February when it's been cloudy and you feel depressed and bring feelings of condemnation to your heart. See, he's a strategist. He's an opportunist. Dreary days in February already make us feel a little blue and down. What better time to bring condemnation? Memories of past failures that have been dealt with that are under the blood. And he'll scam you out of peace through your feelings that are already a little blue. Doubts. He'll scam you out of your peace. Satan would love to scam you out of getting true help for your problems by making you think that it's others' problems. Problem with my problems, Abner. He would love to scam you by taking you from church to church, from relationship to relationship, from mentor to mentor looking for help. All the while, you can't see that the problem is here. It's a scam. It's an endless scam. Chasing to the ATMs is what it is, brothers and sisters. Buying gift cards. That'll never do anything. Looking for help. People move from marriage to marriage because of the devil's scam. Thinking it's someone else's problem when God has grace for me. Satan would love to scam you and I into getting involved in politics. We're undistracted, we're serving the Lord, we're effective, and Satan comes along with this Ponzi scheme, this scheme of investing some time in politics to increase our usefulness, become activists. He'd love to do that. And the end of that, he just robs us of all our usefulness. Satan would love to scam you out of today, the moments, by using tomorrow or yesterday. He's good at this. We're moving to some that seem like smaller scams. Got some big ones in here still, actually. They're not in order. Seems like a smaller scam, but what is more precious than your today? Today. Those are the only moments we have. We don't have yesterday anymore, and we don't have tomorrow yet, and we may never have it. We don't know. But Satan would love to scam you out of your today by using your yesterday and your tomorrow. And you've just lost something worth more than $21,000. Satan would love to scam you out of your marriage, out of your family. We don't have time to explore all these. Sexual sin of all kinds is one big dangerous scam. The problem is it doesn't look like it or feel like it when we're being tempted with it. And here's one that some fall over and over for. Again, many of these we do, but especially this one. Over and over. It's a scam. It offers you gratification every time. Every time it offers you that. Pleasure and gratification. And every time it leaves you defiled and empty. Every time. Once bit, twice shy? Not really. Bitterness is one big scam. Bitterness feels pleasant. Bitterness feels vindicating. Bitterness feels justified. Bitterness presents itself as a way of getting back at someone else, just like revenge. It's all a big scam. It may have a security entourage. It may have a helicopter, but it's a scam. And it'll rob you and any of those you care about. Satan would love to scam you and I into being offended and feel justified in our offense. Satan would love to scam you and I with unforgiveness, same as bitterness. Feels like there's something there for us and there's nothing there. It's a big scam. Satan would love to scam you into hiding things, into covering things, into protecting your reputation. It's a big scam. It's a big scam. You'll have more and more and more to cover. Walking in the light is truth. Satan would love to scam you with revenge. Feels so sweet. It's a scam, brothers and sisters. Covetousness. It's a big scam with which the devil scams us out of contentment. Worth more than $33 million too, brothers. Contentment is. But he'll offer you everything for contentment. And you won't find it. Because it's only found in the Lord. There's some answers for this. But one thing that the Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton said on his website: don't try to scam your scammer. Hang up. We'll get nowhere trying to take advantage of the devil. God has won that victory. But a very effective way that the devil gets us trapped is to make us feel like we could take some of what he has to offer, but not all of it. And in some way, we feel like we're able to scam our scammer. We might know in our heads that the end of this road is death, but we're not going to go to the end of the road. We're going to take a couple things for today. A couple $100 back from him, this scammer. Don't scam the scammer. Ephesians 4:27 says, neither give place to the devil. Not for a moment. The devil doesn't care how much you think you're not going to go to the end of his road. If he gets you to start down his scam, he knows that the chance of taking you the rest of the way to where he can become a roaring lion, a vicious monster, a place where you're caught in the clutches of vices and sins and torments that you knew nothing of when you were tasting the pleasures. The devil knows he stands a good chance. Don't try to scam the scammer. And the beautiful thing about God is that he'll never scam you. Always trustworthy. Simeon talked about the living God. Never a lie. Never a time when he's not faithful. It may look ever so much so. Satan may take all the circumstances of our life in one of his scams and construe God to be a scammer, which is what he did for Adam and Eve. It's the ultimate of scams. It's when the scammer blames when Satan blames God for being the scammer, and he'll try to do that. But God will never do that. He always comes through no matter how it looks. So we need to settle that in our hearts. And we will never scam God. Ananias and Sapphira tried that. We will never scam God. So our God is of course the only answer to this. Jesus is the answer. But I think I said this earlier, I wanted to throw this in here. People are rarely scammed if they seek counsel and talk to others in these physical, financial, all kinds of carnal scams. And Satan's scams are also often exposed before we fall for them or before they get very far in our lives when we are walking in transparency and walking in the light. So all of us have fallen for some of the devil's scams in the past. And maybe today you have discovered that you're swallowing something, that entourage that came isn't legitimate, that helicopter means nothing, that promise is hollow, that peace is not genuine. Maybe you've made that halfway confession. Maybe the devil has scammed you out of today and has been doing that day after day. Maybe you find yourself in a scam. Just like that man in Texas, just like our Mennonite friend, the quicker that you get help, the better. Hadn't it been so much better if she had got help when that package came back? Hadn't it been so much better for that Mennonite man who eventually got help anyway if he'd got that help while there was only 100,000 gone? 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 25 says this, "In meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare, out of the scam of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." The devil can't just snatch you when you're walking with God, but the devil will take you captive as you fall for his scam. But here we have a blessed recovery, a blessed FBI that will deliver us. At whatever point in this scam we are, there's power there to deliver us. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Devil walks around like a roaring lion. Seems like we need some heavy-duty tools to battle with the devil, and we do have some heavy-duty tools that are described here in chapter 6 of Ephesians in verse 11. But I want you to note something very interesting here. 10 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Wiles are not roaring of a lion. Wiles are the scams. And here, where we have our fullest description of the Christian's armor, Paul chose not to say that you may be able to stand against the frontal attacks of the devil, but that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, the scams of the devil. That's where the danger lies for us, is those scams. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." Familiar with the genuine. They say that's the best way to recognize the counterfeit. Loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Our tools are many. We had a scam presentation Wednesday night to fortify us. Here we have a scam presentation that can fortify us like Wednesday night never can. Be familiar with the truth and don't let go of your faith. Turn with me to Matthew 4. Sometimes we're surprised by who gets scammed. Sometimes someone who's known to be shrewd, to be careful, really gets took. But there are those that we know just hardly will. There are those that we just, they're not going to fall for it. There's one who never has and never will. fell for any scam. And we admire him. We admire those people, but we especially admire him. The reason he hasn't is because is not because he hasn't faced the scams. He has. Everyone, the Bible says, that we'll face, this man faced, and he saw right through them. Never fell for them. Didn't even start down the road. Here he is, Matthew chapter 4. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." It was a trap, a scam. But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." This is our defense against the devil's scams, brothers and sisters. But he is not afraid to quote it to us too. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone." He's honing in on his strategy here. Jesus quoted scripture. He's going to do it too. Jesus said unto him, "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Never fell for it. Didn't move an inch. Saw right through it. That's what we need. "Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him." It's a beautiful thing. Hebrews 2:18 says about our Lord Jesus, "For in that he hath himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able also to succor them that are tempted." Our help, our defense against these scams is the Lord Jesus himself. He sees right through them. The closer we walk with him, the more we will see through them. Hebrews 4:15, we'll close with these two verses. "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." He faced every scam that we'll ever face from the devil and fell for none of them. And here's our verse. "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need."